This is Liz Murray from NCSA Public Affairs sitting down with Steve Scott from CRAE, who gave a keynote this evening at the 2015 Blue Water Symposium on programming for the next decade, perspectives from a systems architect. So in your opinion, what do you believe the value of Blue Waters has been so far?
Well, really what Blue Waters does is it gives scientists a tool. It gives scientists an incredibly powerful universal tool, if you will. We've had theory, we've had experiment, and recently, in the past few decades, simulation has become more and more important, and now every area of science has problems that they can only address with simulation. So it gives them one of the best tools they can to do their work.
So pretty much answered the second question in there, but what do you think science and research and academia, that realm of the world, would look like today without a machine like Blue Waters out there? What do you think they would do?
Well, people will migrate to where the tools are. So Blue Waters is the largest computational resource for academic scientists in the United States, and one of the very largest in the world. And if it weren't here, science would frankly take a hit. There would be less productive work done. It would slow progress in a number of different fields. But ultimately what would happen is people would go to other places and run their work there, maybe not as effectively because the systems aren't as capable as Blue Waters. But this is something that I think is tremendously important, both for the scientific community, but also for the nation. Having these tools available will attract the greatest minds in various scientific disciplines. And so it's very, very important that, we maintain that sort of leadership.
So in your talk this evening, you discussed so many things, one of which has been on the mind for a lot of people attending this symposium is what is the future? Where is big compute going, in the sense of not where you touch on where you think it should go, but where realistically is it going, in your opinion?
Well, the primary technical challenge that we've been dealing with over the past decade is how do we continue to improve computational capability at anywhere near historic rates, given the technology changes that have slowed the improvement that we used to enjoy in performance per watt with the silicon technology. And so we're much more power constrained. And so the big challenge now is building systems that can do more work within their power budget. And with every generation, we're becoming more and more power constrained. And so this has led, as technology changes often do, to some significant experimentation in processor architecture. And so we now have GPU computing. There's a big portion of the Blue Water system that uses NVIDIA GPUs. We have new processor technologies coming down the line from Intel as well, with their Xeon Phi line. We have AMD having their own tightly coupled version of GPUs. We see more wide vector, so vector style computing, kind of back to the past when vector style computing used to be important because we didn't have many transistors. Now it's becoming important because we're very power constrained. So the technology challenges have led to a lot of experimentation, and the processors that are being designed and will increasingly be designed in the future are quite a bit more complex than previous processors and are going to present our programmers, our computational teams, with a lot of challenges. We can't just deal with one level of parallelism. We have to deal with multiple levels of parallelism. We have to deal with vectorization and thread level parallelism and distributed memory parallelism and probably different sorts of processors that are optimized for serial versus parallel code. Memory hierarchies are getting deeper. More and more levels of memory now in the stack, and in particular, on package memory, so 3D stacked memory that's going to live on the same package as the processor, is going to offer tremendous bandwidth and very good power efficiency, but to a very limited amount of memory. And so how do we structure our codes to take advantage of that and still be general purpose? So the memory hierarchy and processor heterogeneity are going to cause some pretty big challenges, and that's where the future is going. It's just plain old physics, and so we're going to have to deal with it whether we like it or not.
So that lends itself very well to my last question. I was just going to generally ask you what the most important step in getting to your future is. Am I gathering that starting at the student coding level is where you see the most important step is, or on the hardware side of actually getting those processors and that
Right.
technology in place?
It kind of depends upon which audience you're talking to. Clearly, we need to start teaching programming as a parallel exercise from day one. So students should learn parallel programming first versus learning serial programming and then later try to convert it to parallel programming. I think some of that is happening. So that's the long-term play. And they need to be told what's expensive and what's not expensive. Adding two numbers, not expensive. Moving a piece of data from one place to another, expensive. We need some changes in the way we educate students when they're first learning to program. For the people that are writing codes and using the Blue Waters machine today, the first step that they need to take is converting their codes to have multiple levels of parallelism. Most people are writing today still straight MPI codes. We need to have hierarchical parallelism with these three levels of parallelism that I talked about earlier. And that is work that's going to need to be done relatively soon. Then the next step beyond that is paying more attention to how they exploit data locality and dealing with these deepening memory hierarchies. That's going to be an even bigger challenge.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate your time and your insights.
Delighted to talk to you.